Well, hello there, and welcome back to Verse by Verse Bible Teaching Ministry. We are a ministry of the Wash and Word. The Wash and Word is a hand car washing business that's located on Highway 11 in the church in Church Hill in the Powell Shopping Center. My name is Matthew, and along with my wife Victoria, we operate and own that hand car washing business, and that is a place that you can come to get your car hand washed and get the inside cleaned out. We do full details, mobile detailing. You can find out all the information about the business at washandword.com. That's wash, the letter N, word.com. Also there, you can listen to all these messages that we play here on this radio station on the webpage. You can listen to them or download them free of charge. So again, welcome back. We are in the middle of chapter 4 and of the Gospel of John, and if you've been following along this week with this chapter, we're kind of treating it like a road journey. And along any road journey you might take, there's pit stops and there are fueling stations and things that places along the way where we stop and do things. And so we looked at in verses 1 through 3, our pit stop number 1 was basically, by way of quick summary, you know, a one-man office can only do the work of one man. And the crux behind that statement was that, you know, it's important for us to discharge our ministerial duties to others around us. It gives them the opportunity to use their giftings, and it also takes the burden off of leadership. And we talked about how that goes for not just ministry, but, you know, at your job or in your home. And it's good to get people around you involved in the things that need to be done. The second pit stop that we had was sometimes we wind up on a road of complacency. You know, maybe you travel the same route every day or something to that effect. And in our walk with God, we sometimes get on a road of complacency, of status quo. And, you know, we talked about how important it is to get before the cross, to kneel before the master, and like Isaiah, say, "Here I am, send me." Sometimes we need a new direction. Sometimes we got to let God give us new marching orders so that we can travel in the right direction and on the will that there is that God has for your life. And then we talked about how there are no accidents for the obedient Christian. And, you know, this lines up with some of the scriptures. We talked about how Saul had gone in different directions before he got to where he needed to go. And later, Paul went in three different directions before he finally went in the right one. And, you know, sometimes we're sputtering around on flat tires, and every direction we go seems to be the wrong one, or that we're lost. And then we talked about how important it is to go in to that prayer closet and into your wherever it is that you take time to be with the Lord, and you get that spiritual tune-up, and you know, you get your gas tank full. And then sometimes God gives you a new direction, and he puts some air freshener in your tank, you know, and gets rid of some of that stinking thinking. And oftentimes the detour is the way we should have been going originally. And then we left off talking about how sometimes the road to the fill-up station is blocked. And by that, we looked at the fact that sometimes getting to the cross is the hard part. You know, it's you know, we know that that's where we need to go. We know that that's where we find forgiveness. We know that is where we find refreshment and filling, and, you know, our visions get cleared up and God sends us in the right directions. We know all this stuff, but sometimes that road is blocked. And by that, it's usually blocked because of sin in our life and busyness and things that we're doing. And sometimes you just got to push through that. You've got to make a way when there doesn't seem to be a way. And get yourself to that cross, because there God can give you that fill-up that you need. And so we're going to pick it up here where we left off. And we are in chapter 4 of the Gospel of John in verse 16. And it reads, "He told her, 'Go call your husband and come back.'" Now, just by way of quick review, we are in the section of the Gospel of John where Jesus is talking to the woman at the well, and she is inquiring about this, quote, living water Jesus has mentioned to her. And so the woman says, "Sir, give me this water that I won't get thirsty and don't have to keep coming here to draw water." And Jesus' response was in verse 16, "Go, call your husband and come back." To which she replied, "I have no husband." And Jesus said to her, "You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true." So the woman's probably thinking, what is going on here? We were just a minute ago talking about water and living water and spiritual water and regular water. And just like that, Jesus turns it on a dime and starts talking about her sexual promiscuity. In essence, that's what he is referencing here. And so here's what we can look at when we think about how Jesus takes this conversation, and he just seems to just completely change everything that's going on by going from water to this woman's sexual past. What Jesus is doing is Jesus is preparing the vessel. You know, isn't that what this Christian walk is about? It's about getting our vessels prepared. I want you to remember this. God will never pour sustaining spiritual power into carnal vessels. Now, I specifically put the word sustaining in there. God will never pour sustaining spiritual power into carnal vessels. Jesus said in Matthew 9:17, neither do men pour new wine into old wineskins. If they do, the skins will burst and the wine will run out and the wineskins will be ruined. No, they pour new wine into the new wineskins and both are preserved. So Jesus is preparing the vessel, and he's preparing you and I as well. And if sin remains in the spirit of a man, then the spirit of God would thus be polluted. If you take pure filtered water, I'm talking about the best water you've ever tasted or have ever come across, and you took that pure, delicious filtered water and you poured it into a dirty bottle, well, what happens? What good is that pure water if you put it into a dirty vessel? And this is the work of the Holy Spirit. This is what Jesus is trying to do as we pit stop to the cross, as we get before the Lord and we lay down our burdens, we lay down our sins. We see that Jesus is trying to purify the vessel so that he can pour out the will of God into our lives, the power of God into our lives, and the passion of God. But he can't pour all that into a carnal vessel. And so this is where the repentance of your sin, because you may be saved, but you're not sinless. And this is where the repentance of your sin comes in. You have to confess the sin, and it cleanses our soul. And then we ask Jesus to refresh us, to replenish us. And if we haven't yet been saved, that is when we ask him to come and live inside of us. That's why the Bible says over and over again, repent and be saved. Well, the same could be said for those of us who have already accepted the Lord. Repent of your current sins, your current thinking, and, well, rather than be saved, repent and be filled. Repent and be sent out. And so this is what Jesus is trying to do with the woman at the well here. And so he continues. The woman says, "Sir, I can see that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place that we must worship is in Jerusalem." We'll stop right there for a second. Often mistaken as a diversion question, you know, they're talking about water, and then Jesus starts to talk about her husband, and then so the woman, maybe it appears that she's trying to divert the conversation back to something else, so she brings up the fact that Jesus is a prophet, and that the mountain that they're on, you know, the history with the mountain, and everything, it looks like she's trying to divert it, you know, from water to husband to mountains, which is kind of funny, because isn't that really what we do so often? Haven't you experienced that? When conviction begins to set in and you are feeling the Spirit tugging at your heart about a certain thing, and what do? We change our mental subject. We we focus on something else because we're not ready to face the thing that the Spirit is convicting in us. But I believe that this woman here at the well, she's trying to reach out. And I think this is the main reason for their division here. They set a different place to worship apart from Jerusalem. It was where these acceptable sacrifices more or less clash. And if a sacrifice is not acceptable, then there is no repentance or forgiveness. So we have to prepare our hearts for repentance. There is no forgiveness and repentance if our hearts aren't prepared to offer these things in a way that is acceptable to God. So in a way, she's saying, okay, I get what you're going for here. You're touching on a part of my life that needs to be fixed, but how can I reconcile with God if our reconciliation points differ? In other words, she's saying, maybe you're right, Lord. You know, she doesn't know it's the Lord yet, but maybe you're right. Maybe I do need some help here. But she's saying, this isn't the place that I can let go. But this is where Jesus' response is so important, because we can let go right where we are. There's nowhere special we have to be. There's nothing special we have to do. We just have to be with the Lord to let these things go. Look at verse 21. Jesus declared, "Believe me, woman, a time is coming when we will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming, and now has come, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth." Don't you just love how our Savior cuts to the heart of the issue? Whether it be in a story that we're reading like today, or be in our lives, you know, he doesn't let us stay in the superficial. He doesn't let us wallow in shallow inquiries. No, Jesus circumvents all that, and he cuts directly to the heart issue. Eventually, when we're seeking Jesus, we're going to come to that point where no longer can we talk about wells and containers for water, i.e. excusing our sins and explaining away our iniquities. No, at some point in our walk, we have to come face to face with truth and say, "I perceive you are a prophet," or in a more direct manner, "I realize that you are God, and I'm going to submit to you, Lord Jesus. So I say to you who are listening, throw out your method and your rules and your locations of worshiping, and just do it in spirit and truth. That is, let it come from your heart." And this is the heart of the issue. It's not just about living water or right living or repentance, even eternal life, but it is the way we worship. And that brings us to our last pit stop, and we have to be quick, we're running out of time. All the separations of religion is a gas station, and we're all looking for the same thing. We all need gas, but someone might say, "Well, I need Exxon. Well, I need Mobil. Well, I need Marathon." It's the same stuff, but we all need the same thing. We're all seeking a certain gas station. And whether it's this gas station or that gas station or this mountain or that mountain or this water container, the point is that's all nonsense. That's all religion. The cross is where we need to go. The car does not run on the gas station. It runs on the gas. And when we realize that the only separation really is in the octane, not the location, we are free to live the John 10:10 life and life to the full. Christian, you can lead a 87, 89, or 93 octane spiritual life. And with that freedom comes a new direction, a new humility. And we see that humbling take place with this woman in verse 25. The woman said, "I know that you are Messiah, and when he comes, he will explain everything to us." And Jesus declared, "It is I whom you speak to." Well, congratulations. We just got to the checkered flag of this road trip. And I pray that you are blessed and encourage you to continue to come back and listen to these messages. And again, go to thewashandword.com to hear all these messages. And God bless you. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow and next time. Bye-bye.